Every year at Barton Academy, students, faculty, and staff depart the campus for a two-week winter break. But there are always an unfortunate few who have nowhere to go for the holidays. They're known as the holdovers.
Mr. Hunnam.
Hello, Mary.
I heard you got stuck with babysitting duty this year. How'd you manage that?
You know, he used to be a student, right?
Yeah, that's why he knows how to inflict maximum pain on us.
I thought all the Nazis were hiding in Argentina.
Stifle it, Tully.
You just earned yourself a detention, sir.
Being here with you is already one big detention.
Son of a bitch, that's another detention.
Do you think I want to be babysitting you? No, I was praying your mother would pick up the phone or your father would arrive in a helicopter or a flying saucer.
My father's dead.
Da, 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 da.
You sound insane. You realize that?
Yeah.
The whole world gone crazy!
Seriously?
It's showtime.
That's fun.
Welcome back in, Mam Fam. Rounding out 2023. We still got a ton of movies to talk about, believe it or not. I'm Kent, joined by Richard and Brian, as always. Fellas, how we doing? How's your December shaping up?
At least I have reason to believe that this year will be better than the last, but...
It is. It's extremely long December.
Yeah.
Well,
feels like hospitals in winter, man.
We're finally getting around to talking about a movie that's been out for a long time. It was a really good movie weekend for me. I don't know about you fellas, but this was the only movie I saw. And, you know, it's been a good, it feels like, second half of 2023. Any thoughts on that before we dive into the movies?
Yeah, you know, I keep a letterbox and I, you know, keep track of my movies through the course of the year, and also have a wait list or a watch list, excuse me, on there. And I typically don't put stuff on there like way far in advance. You know, I kind of go a couple months at a time, and for me, it's more about keeping track of the movies that have already come out that I haven't seen yet, you know, especially with all the streamers and things like that. It's pretty easy, I think, at this point to kind of forget about some of these random movies, and maybe I want to get to them at some point, just haven't yet. But I went ahead a couple of days ago and looked at the rest of the movie calendar pretty much from here to the end of the year and added all those movies in. And it's just like, gosh, this is a daunting task. There's probably 40 movies that I, in theory, would like to watch before the end of the year, or certainly before we do our end of year rankings towards the end of January, that haven't been available to me until this very moment, or still are not available yet. You know, Maestro came out today, limited. So if you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul, you can go see Maestro now.
They all are. But you know, those indie theaters are a little spendy, though. You know, $11 for a ticket. I don't know about that. Oh, okay. Gosh. I got the ad tier on Netflix. So,
you guys watching the new Ted Lasso? Not to Ted Lasso. Funny, I should
Fargo?
Say.
Fargo.
New Fargo.
I am, yeah. I'm like three episodes in.
I haven't started yet. I'm excited.
It's nice, man. It's a good return.
Well, there's only been three, Brian, so you're all caught up, completionist.
Oh, am I? For real? Yeah. I thought I was at least one behind.
Okay, there was one, I think, today or something. But
okay. All right. Well, we're more caught up than I thought we were.
Yeah.
It's a good return. That might be my weekly recommend. I don't know. I might have something else. Juno Temple's great.
Oh, I said Ted Lasso. Yeah, because of Juno Temple. Reminded me of her accent. It's great in it. I was like, she's nailing this.
For sure.
My SNL audition is going to be my Twin Cities resident that's really cheap and Lutheran, but is extremely up on indie cinema because they have all the movies.
The great things about this season of Fargo, though, and each season is a new story. So like, if you've never seen Fargo, you can just start with this season. Right.
You should go watch season one and season two, but you do not need to feel like you need to watch four seasons.
They're all self-contained stories in each season.
For sure.
So it's not only great that she's nailing the accent, but also maybe more great that John Hamm isn't even attempting the accent.
Yes.
Just can't do it. Bail on it. That's fine.
Just, Just John, normal John Hamm voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cop in North Dakota. I love it. Let's dig in to the holdovers. Alexander Payne returns to cinemas. Feels like we haven't talked a lot about him on the show. I know we haven't talked about a lot of his movies. If I know we've probably talked about him in passing, but definitely haven't done a lot of reviews or discussions around his movies. And so this one comes to us with Paul Giamatti back, teaming up with Alexander Payne again. Really cool to see that. See anyone wanting to work with Paul Giamatti again is cool. So love to see that. Getting a lot of buzz. So I had high expectations for this. And just general thoughts from me. Loved this movie. Loved how it was shot. Loved the script. Loved the performances. I mean, this was one of the better movies of the year. And never would have expected that on paper. But here we are. Yeah, it was among the strongest, if not the strongest, in my opinion, Alexander Payne movies. He's got a lot of strong ones looking at the filmography. He doesn't miss a lot. And it's touching. It's funny. It's sad. It's heartwarming. It's all these things. I mean, it's got Christmas tones to it. So it's kind of got a Christmas movie element. And I could just picture Brian sobbing the entire time and just blubbering watching this movie. And so that made it very funny for me too. But loved this movie. I'll pass it off to you, Brian, on that note.
Yeah, you know, this was my weekly recommend last week. And I wasn't sure. I knew we would get an episode in on it at some point, but wasn't sure exactly when. And so I'm glad we're doing it now because it's pretty fresh on my mind. Yeah, this was great. Alexander Payne is such an interesting director because I think he's very, very, very good. He has misses like everybody does. It happens. I hate Sideways so much. I hate that movie. I haven't seen it in a really long time, so maybe 40-year-old me would respect it in a way that 25-year-old me was not interested at all. But I loved Election. I love The Descendants. I love Nebraska. Downsizing with one of the weirdest movie experiences.
Just
so odd, man. Such an odd thing. I thought about that movie last weekend. Yeah, it was the weekend after Thanksgiving because we do a preacher swap every year for that week. Like the Sunday after Thanksgiving, our preacher goes and preaches at another church and their preacher comes over and preaches at ours. And he's really good. And I was in the theater. He and I know each other, but not enough to where if I went up to him, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I kind of recognize, you know what I mean? We wouldn't be on first name basis or anything. He happened to be in the theater that I was seeing Downsizing in. And I was just giggling to myself and Lindsay and I both just kind of laughing of him watching this very strange kind of wheels off movie with his wife. And he just kept turning to being like, what's happening? Like he just couldn't wrap his mind around. Why are we watching this movie? And why did this movie get made? And it ended and he just goes, that's the weirdest freaking movie I've ever seen in my life. It was such a funny, just random little interesting. Yeah. Downsizing, such a strange movie. And by the way, that was 6 years ago. This is a long time.
Wow.
Between movies for,
we've been doing this show a long time.
When I went back and started going back and thinking about this movie before seeing it, I was like, surely he's had one between Downsizing and now. Like there's one I'm missing. Like I definitely remember one. It was almost a Mandela effect thing. Like what?
For sure.
There's nothing. I thought there was one kind of weird, like didn't really catch on kind of movie in between there. And there was nothing. So I felt, awful. And it's so funny you say that, Brian, because over Thanksgiving weekend, I can't remember who it was, but we were at some family gathering. And somebody said, oh, yeah, you know, we just watched Downsizing. And it became a topic of conversation at my Thanksgiving festivities as well. Isn't that just the most random movie for us to just be talking about?
Like, I can imagine Damon getting that script and being like, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't a good This isn't a good script.
I
don't understand it.
I will defend downsizing. I'll defend the whole idea of doing it, the signing on to do it. I think there's enough
that's
there.
That's kind of my point. Yeah.
But the execution like, or like the end yeah. product doesn't lead to like what I think was on paper and what was in everyone's mind. Well, and like, it even, just doesn't work sometimes.
I would even say like, even if it's not on paper, I have no Damon, like there's no, like you, I guess my point is when he gets that script, he's like, I don't really see it, but like, it's Alexander Payne. We're going to figure this out. Right. And I have to imagine even Payne was always like, yeah, I wrote this script. Well, it'll come together. We'll figure it out. Like, we'll just put it together. And then nothing clicks. And then I don't even think that movie's that bad. It's just like, it's not good. And it's mm-hmm. so odd.
And he had only done good stuff like four movies in a row too.
Yeah. It was the concept alone. It was the entire concept of you shrink yourself down and your net worth immediately becomes 100 times because you can buy a bag of chips and it'll last you a year or whatever it is, you know, when you're sure. that small. So that was the entire premise of the movie. It was never better than just the premise. That's all they had to sure. offer was like this premise. Would you do this? This is weird. Look at this process they have to go mm-hmm. through. Look at the tiny places they live. That's it. That's all it had to offer. But I think on that alone, I think that's why they
yeah.
did it.
Again, I don't blame anybody for doing that movie or making that right. movie. It just didn't, excuse me, it didn't come together.
Remember the, like, yeah, there was just someone, Christoph Waltz is in that, man.
He's a big yeah. part of it.
Yeah.
Way too long. It should have been a 90-minute kind of quirky, you know, blast from the past kind of feel to it. It was just a very lighthearted, and Alexander Payne's not the guy to make that movie.
Yeah.
And so I think
it's very Adam McKay-ish. It's like an Adam.
Yes.
In good and bad ways, for sure.
I'll pass it off to you, Richard. What are your thoughts on
yeah.
on Alexander Payne in general and this movie yeah. in general?
I'm so funny. Very similar to Brian, but one quirk. I like Sideways. I'm like weird. Same. That I feel like people either hate it or love it. I like it. So
I think like, I like it because I saw it in the theater when it first came out.
Yeah.
And it was one of the first, it was one of those situations where like, oh, everything else is sold out. So we'll go see this.
Yeah. The happenstance. And
it was one of, yeah, that along with, I think it was Life Aquatic that came out around the same time.
Yeah.
It's one of the first like non Will Ferrell, Adam Sandler comedies that I had ever seen. And so yeah. I guess it's eye-opening from that standpoint for me.
But I also have the one I hate too, like Brian. I don't like Election at all. I don't know why. I've tried to click with that movie 100 times. I don't like it. So exactly what you have, Brian, just we have the like inverted setup. I love Descendants, love Nebraska, love, you know, so many of his other so many of the other film other than Downsizing. So I haven't seen Citizen Ruth, but I like About Schmidt a lot too. That's a mm-hmm. Yes. interesting movie. So yeah, this one kind of, but I will say when we talk about this movie, I am so set. I mean, I got two things to say on this. If you were to say, what's your favorite genre of anything? It probably, all right, let me step back. There's this little, I have Sirius XM radio right now. I did like the 3-month promo. So I'm going to listen to a lot of Sirius XM radio. And John Mayer has a station there now.
Knew you were going to talk about this.
Okay.
Say, so John Mayer station, you've been listening to
John Mayer. I haven't listened to it, but they do ads on all the other stuff. Oh. And I'm not against, I just haven't yet, whatever. And the concept of the station is kind of interesting. And the ad's really good. It's him talking. And he says, we think about genres wrong. Genres aren't, rock and roll or rap or, you know, soul. Genres are getting ready for work and sure. chilling out on a Saturday night with a date and, you know, whatever it is, you know, all these kind of, and it's kind of, I think it's a really interesting way to think about music is that we've kind of gone now we've all been exposed to so many different types of music. So when I want to get ready for work, it might be a little hip hop. It might be a little metal. It might, you know, it might be, it's all upbeat, but it's different, you know? So The whole idea is let's rethink what genres mean. And that's the station. It's the station is supposed to follow you throughout your day. It's called like life or something. Right. So, okay. That sets up my next point. when we talk about genre of literature, film, whatever, I could say drama or comedy. My choice would probably, if I was being honest, would probably be boarding school. I'm in on anything. Any saying, novel, yeah, it's a good, anything it's an easy, at a boarding school.
Bit, yeah.
Yeah. I'm in. I'm like already, I already like it. You have to work against it for me to dislike it. Yeah. Yeah. Kent like missed Harry Potter, right? Not dunking on Kent. Like we did the whole Harry Potter retrospect, whatever. The main reason I like Harry Potter is not the wizardry. It's that the boarding school.
It explains why you like X-Men so much too, I guess.
Yeah. Love X-Men. That's probably, that's, yeah, it's so a great one. Kent, great call. I was just talking about X-Men earlier with my wife that I like X-Men. She was like, you're not a comic book person. I was like, I know, but I like the X-Men. That's totally it. I like board. I just like boarding school. Kingsley Amis has a book called Lucky Jim, one of my favorite novels ever. I'm looking at it on my shelf right now. It's at a boarding school. I love boarding school.
And explains so much. It does. Yeah. It really does. Brian, what made this go from just a movie that you needed to watch to fill out the list to one you would recommend on the show?
Yeah, a couple things. There's three really great performances here. In Paul Giamatti, obviously.
Yeah.
Giamatti occupies this really kind of odd space for me.
Interesting movie for Brian to talk about, for sure.
Yeah, we're like, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I joke around all the time about how I think he looks like he smells bad. And then there's a joke about that in the movie, which is funny. But he's a great actor who I'm never excited about ever. Like, I'm never being like, man, I can't wait for the new Giamatti. There's probably other actors that occupy that same space. I don't get juiced for a Giamatti movie, a Giamatti joint, if you will. But then pretty much every single time, it's a great performance, as long as he's not the Rhino, you know? I don't know. He's a very, very, very good actor, like one of the best actors of his era. And I don't know. It's definitely me that's wrong when I'm just like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that excited about it. He's great. He's great in this. He's a shoo-in for an Oscar nomination. I'll be interested to see what the odds are once that's actually announced, you know, because he's got a real chance of winning it, and he'll deserve it if he does. It's very, very good. I think Dominic Sessa, who I don't think I've ever seen in a movie before.
I hadn't, yeah.
Incredible job of personifying both sides of that character and the personality there. You know, the he's obviously very insecure about himself, and so that turns into you know, acting out and making, you know, making himself kind of a nuisance to everybody around him. But the turn on that character, when we get into spoilers, is heartbreaking and really touching and great. And then Divine Joy Randolph, who I've seen a time or two, but has never been like a major standout part of it. She also right now is an odds on favorite to get an Oscar nomination. And there are parts, I think at the end of it, I came out on Giamatti has the best performance in this movie. There were definitely moments through the course of it that I was like, nope, it's her. She's better. She is having a better performance than Paul Giamatti is. It's so good. When they go to Boston, and I don't want to get spoilery at this point, but I will just say, when the movie transitions from the boarding school to Boston, I think it just cranks up a notch. And it was like, this is a very good movie. And then all of a sudden, in that moment and for the rest of its run, it becomes a great movie. And I love that too. I love when a movie is like, you're comfortable, you're enjoying this. This is really good, right? Awesome. But we have another level to go to. And I always appreciate when a movie can pull that off. It's a really, really strong entry for this year.
Yeah, definitely felt that for me too. It felt like two different styles. To me, the first half really felt John Hughes inspired. Mm-hmm. And then
And then it's Mike Nichols-y, isn't it? Like, yeah. It becomes a Mike Nichols movie at a certain point.
Or Alexander Payne movie. I mean, he does these road trip movies all the time.
Right.
So I think it's a lot of influences. Wasn't this a movie already? A French movie or a play or something that this was kind of adapted from? I think.
I don't know.
That might be.
That's a good question.
Might be true. But yeah, this is definitely a really cool to see Giamatti do like a leading role again in this capacity, because mm-hmm. he always seems to be like second or third.
It was originally going to be a TV pilot that Alexander Payne commissioned, but it was based on the movie Merluz from 1935.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. But yeah, so he contacted a guy to write the first episode of a pilot and it kind of became a movie. Sorry, just got in there.
This would be an interesting miniseries too.
The title was very TV showy. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, it's based on... Never mind. Pardon me.
What did you think about the way that this was shot, the way it looked, the 70s, the way it was set? It definitely had a very distinct vision in that front. I mean, all the way to the opening credits being the old school rated R and old. I think they had a Focus Features logo that was I'd never seen before with the 70s vintage. I like all of that stuff to set the tone. I think a lot of filmmakers take for granted the way opening credits can set a tone or really elevate the material. And this is a cool example of that. I understand this was shot with Arri Alexas, but it looked like it was run through, printed on film and, you know, run through the process to do that. It didn't look like, I can't remember the movie we talked about earlier this year where I was complaining that they just ran the grain filter over the entire movie. It might have been a few months ago, The Creator or something like that. This looks, had a way better aesthetic to it. It had a very timeless quality and loved the soundtrack too. This kind of Dave Brubeck jazz score was excellent and really elevated the material as well. So what did you guys think about just the, aside from the performances, the rest of the movie side of it?
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought this was a fantastic script. I thought it was really, it took turns I didn't expect. There were characters there that were kind of juxtaposed against each other. You know, there's the classic, you know, the classics teacher. By the way, I'm thinking about opening up a Barden Academy. Not just Barton Academy. You can't have that in the student, the rebel student, whatever. But there's the thing that makes this interesting is I think Mary Lamb, you know, the divine Joy Randolph character, that adds this whole other variable to it. And then you add like Vietnam is like kind of another character in this movie and is definitely affecting people's motives and behavior at large. So like this could have been a simpler movie and been fine, but there's these kind of kinetic other characters and turns that this thing makes that make it exciting. You know, I want to say like it inflates it a bit to makes it a bit too long because I know it's over 2 hours, but it all feels true to it and makes it exciting because you kind of, these turns keep happening. This is a very plot driven film. This isn't a hangout movie, even though these characters are kind of stuck together. It's very much plot driven. But it really kept, for me, almost felt like watching a bit of a thriller where there's kind of these different things I'm guessing and different people's motivations and how everyone's going to react and at some point come to some kind of climax together. So that's kind of weird.
Yeah. But yeah. That's a good point. And which of the three, Brian, affected you the most of the three main holdovers, Mary, Paul Giamatti's character, and Angus? They each have their own...
Yeah.
Unique struggles. Yeah. Mary's with her son, you know, passing in Vietnam, Angus with his family kind of abandoning them there. And then Paul just trying to deal with being this professor for 30 years at this place where no one really likes him and he has no other life but this place. And which of those affected you the most?
In a way too. Yeah.
And a aspect of the movie that they don't really harp on, which could have been his entire character, is that he's an alcoholic. And, you know, they have times where he's drinking, but he's not like this angry, horrible, like that's who he is type of person. It's just kind of something you can tell. It's not a caricature of that. It's like, you could tell it's something that he's not proud of, but it's a part of his life. And I liked the way they played that.
I'm glad you brought that up. Cause I think that's one of the best parts of this performance is the kind of subtlety to, and that's some of that's writing and directing too. To be clear, like he's
subtlety to all of these struggles. I mean, Mary. The scene that kind of broke me was Mary and there's no dialogue in it. It's just music and it's shot. You know what I'm talking
this
about?
This killed me. Yeah.
It's where she's handing off the baby stuff to her friend.
Yeah.
To her sister, you don't have to say anything. Yeah. It's her walking in the house and just handing off these like bottles and clothes and hugging her friend. And you know, it's like, oh man, that is just, that's awful.
Her unpacking that box of his and taking his her, we're fully in spoilers at this point. So, you know, go see the movie. Unpacking the baby items from her son who died in Vietnam so that she can give her sister these items.
Sister, sorry, I said friend.
Yeah, either way, but it's a perfect scene. It did. It got an audible, probably, I would guess, an audible sob for me just sitting in my office watching the movie because it was just such a touching, ugly, heartfelt moment with no dialogue and just like you get all that you need without any dialogue, without anything really even happening other than this just kind of quick moment on screen. Giamatti's like the alcoholic thing could have so easily become like like Jerry West in that terrible Showtime show or whatever, you know, or just like becomes a crazy. I feel like a lot of times
the Lakers shows,
a lot of times alcoholics on screen are either like just raging, mean, terrible, yelly people, or it goes the opposite way.
Star is Born, where you're peeing yourself.
Like it becomes the like, well, he's the life of the party, but only when he drinks, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like a C story of his own life is like, here's all these things that he's struggling with, which are, he's clearly always felt insecure. He has the eye going on, which is they use that really, I mean, it's a very funny bit that they call attention to a couple of times there. He is a fraud because he did not actually even graduate from college and he's teaching at this prestigious boarding school. It's like the fourth or fifth thing down the list is like, oh, by the way, also he's an alcoholic. And we're not really going to draw attention to that, except that there are frequent stops to a liquor store, or he orders a double Jim Beam at dinner, or, you know, all these little things that you get a hint of. It's a very subtle thing instead of like, this guy's a raging alcoholic. It's really, really strong on that part. I think the scene that got me the most, because it did take me by surprise, is Angus seeing his dad again in the mental institute, because they've set you up. And in hindsight, I was like, I probably should have seen that coming, but I didn't. They had set you up for his dad is dead, and no, he's not. He's just he went crazy, and he's in an asylum. And so the moment where Angus sits down with his dad, and he's smiling, and his dad is smiling at him, and he presents his dad with like, I'm doing really well in class, and blah 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 blah, all this sort of stuff, and his dad breaks his heart with like, they're poisoning me, or they're, you know, all these little things, and just immediately shows that he's crazy and he can't really. That's a really hard, sad, affecting moment, and it kind of is very sobering to this whole thing, because this is a really funny movie in a lot of places, and then you have like all of these characters have like really rough moments on screen that kind of like bring you back to like, God, this is kind of a drama too, right?
Such a sudden change for Archie to, I mean, for the audience, because you know, I think Giamatti says right as they're going, as they're pulling up, he goes, yeah, we can go to a cemetery, and then it cuts to them at the place. Uh-huh. It's like, wow, this whole time you think it's something he can deal with, and then you're seeing this guy face to face, and you don't realize it's this, you know, mental issue. And gosh, that was unexpected, but extremely affecting. And even more affecting was the speech that they have at dinner, that Giamatti gives him at dinner about, you're not your father.
Yeah, that killed me too.
Oh, so, gosh.
Gosh.
So let's keep it fully in spoilers now. They get back from Boston, and the parents find out, oh, you took him to see his dad. We don't love that. We're taking him out of this school. And that's when Giamatti kind of has the Oscar moment, the character building moment, the full arc of the story. Loved it. And loved the way they kind of kept a lot of it ambiguous, too, about what's said, where they show kind of the first part of the conversation, and then it just cuts them in the hallway as Giamatti walks out, and you just kind of don't know what fully was said, but it's obvious what was said because he ends up leaving the school, which is like, another great. I saw the trailer for this. I was like, oh, this is definitely going to be like a I'm going to adopt him type of story at the end. Like, that's what I thought it was going to be. And it wasn't really that, but it kind of was in some ways. It was more like we're all just bonded for life rather than I am your father now type of thing. Sure. And so I appreciated that. And the moment at the end, too, that got me was when Giamatti's driving away and kind of takes the swig of the alcohol and then spits it out. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I'm not fully out on changing, but I'm taking steps toward that, which I thought was a cool, subtle little moment from Payne, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a lot of subtlety to this. And that's a term that I think gets thrown around pretty easily in movie reviews and things like that. And a lot of times we, at least I do this. I think sometimes when I say something is subtle, it's sort of like a cover for me trying to figure out what to say, you know? This is like a very subtly brilliant film. Like, these characters are all so well structured and written, and then the acting on top of them is magnificent. It's
subtle because it's so funny to me. Like, there's several laugh out loud moments in the movie. The one that really got me, well, Giamatti, the way he talked in the movie, I thought was really funny. Mm-hmm. And he had a couple of really funny lines. I wrote them down here. Hormonal vulgarian. I liked that term he used. I'm going to start using that. You're a hair's breadth from suspension. Mm-hmm. It reminded me, like, if Wes Anderson had this exact script, it would be a Wes Anderson movie. Would it not?
Sure.
It has all the elements of a Wes Anderson movie. It has the dialogue. It has the arcs, all the same kind of relationship drama that plays out in a Wes Anderson movie. But it was shot by Alexander Payne and directed by Alexander Payne, which I found interesting, too. It has, you know, kind of a Rushmore feel to it. I'm sure it was inspired by Rushmore. And the thing that killed me at the end was the really douchey kid from the prep school. When Giamatti's leaving the school, he's like, I heard he was bent over the toilet gurgling turds. Gurgling turds. Yeah, I had never heard bent. You know, these kids just make up insane stories about their teachers that are based in. I heard he was bent over the toilet gurgling turds. What? there's some good stuff in here from a Kent Garrison sense of humor standpoint. So I'll take that. Anything else? Any observations? Favorite scenes? Well, anything like that you want to touch on before we grade it out?
The music and everything. Is it a Christmas movie going forward?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's the entire basis of the movie is that it's Christmas and they're stuck there.
Yeah,
I agree. I think
they have a Christmas. They exchange Christmas gifts. They get a Christmas tree. You know,
always looking for Christmas movies I like.
So yes, there's not like. I think I like that about it too. It does make it like you could watch this anytime and it wouldn't feel as Christmassy. I think that does benefit the rewatchability of it. But yeah, it's not littered with Burl Ives songs, so it makes it a little less Christmassy, but not totally un-Christmassy. Yeah.
At least Christmas adjacent. So that's good enough.
Where will Simmons rank this in the top Boston movies of 2023? So I look forward to his list every year of that. I'm going to rank this. I mean, I'm going to grade this one It's one of the best movies I've seen this year. I'm not going to lie. Probably an A+. How about you, Brian?
Yeah, it's an A+ for me. I for the moment, slotted it number two, right between Oppenheimer and Barbie. So there's still a lot of Oscar-y and Oscar movies and the kind of movies that typically end up finding a couple spots in the top 10 for me. But this feels like a very secure top 5 at the least movie this year. I'm not going to be unhappy if this one wins like a lot of awards come award season. It's really, really, it's so much. I was expecting it to be good and it was so much better than that. So that's that always like to walk away from a movie being, man, I anticipated that a lot and still it was great. So love this. How about you, RB?
Yeah. A+ for me. One of my two favorite movies of the year, right there with you. So loved it. Hopefully, as always, I always say, I hope that this ends up my 10th favorite movie of the year, that we get a lot of good stuff. But sure, I can't imagine that it would, because it's so good.
Right.
And I think he does a great job with actors. I think that's...
He does.
I mean, these felt like real people to me. I think that's probably the best compliment I can give a director.
Great scout by defying the kid that played Angus, man.
Oh, he was incredible. Yeah. He was very good. He was totally believable as Angus.
First movie.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, let's move on. Before we get out of here, let's hit a weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
What have you got for us this week, Brian?
Okay. I could do Fargo, but we talked about that a little bit at the outset, so I'll leave that one alone. But it is certainly a nice return to form. I don't think I finished season 4 last year, and I was really pumped for that. Just didn't have or maybe 2 years ago, whenever that came out. Yeah. Fargo season 5 is really good. I'll give you something that's like kind of random, but has this kind of early 70s vibe. I recommended a few weeks ago For All Mankind, the Apple Plus show. It's sort of like alternative space race history, which I love. That's in season 4 now, and it's good. That's besides The Bear, that might be my favorite show of the year come into the year. I've loved binging that. In season 3, well, in season 2 of that show, they used a lot of good needle drops in the show overall. They used Elvis's Don't Be Cruel really effectively in season 2. And then in season 3, they came back and did it again, the song with Billy Swan's version. And it's... I hadn't listened to a Billy Swan album in a really long time, and it kind of reminded me, like, man, I kind of love that sort of, I don't really even know what genre you would call that, kind of like Leon Russell-y, Billy Swan kind of, I don't know, country pop? I don't know, whatever it is. The record is I Can Help, which is probably his biggest hit, and just kind of one of those... one of those artists that has sort of been forgotten in time and only had a few albums and now is just like spent the last like 30 or 40 years just being like a backing musician and whatnot. But I put on the album on Spotify and it's so freaking good. It's so good. And it's really hit the spot. So I Can Help by Billy Swan, and the Don't Be Cruel Elvis cover is incredible. So freaking good. So great use of that on the show too, which is awesome.
You guys hear the Country Roads Lana Del Rey
cover? Yeah.
Man, that was good. West Virginia.
Always like a nice cover song.
Oh yeah. I'm a sucker for them too. What you got, Richard?
Yeah, I'll do a movie from earlier this year. We've talked about it a little bit. Maybe we'll end up doing an episode on it, but I watched it over the last couple weeks and really loved it. Loved actually about we talked about how bad it looked and then was really good. And that's the Blackberry movie.
Nice.
So, nice. Loved it. Thought it was great. So, definitely a Richard movie, I would say probably, but I think a lot of people would enjoy it. And like randomly, like, Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny is unbelievable in it.
Dude, it's he's like best, should be definitely known. Best actor worthy. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, he won't get a campaign. They probably don't have the budget for it, but gosh,
I hope he's so good. He should, man. That's one maybe the best performance I've seen all year. Like, yeah. Seriously, it's so good.
It's amazing.
It surprised me greatly too, because I felt like that trailer was awful.
Yeah.
His hair deal, the bald cap or whatever they were doing there did not work great.
It's like, what's our guy that's in every movie? Corey, Stahl? No.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like, was he not available? That's what I was thinking when I saw.
Exactly.
For once, was he not available?
That's certainly one of the most underrated movies of the year. It's not really getting talked about, but it's hard to have any complaints with that one. That one was excellent. I'm going to recommend a TV show that's on Lasso Plus, aka Apple TV, and it's this Godzilla show. You guys watching it? Monarch?
Not haven't started it yet, but planning on it.
I'm aware of it.
It's it's right out of the, I guess, MonsterVerse cinematic universe, which would be Godzilla vs. Kong, Godzilla, Kong Skull Island. It's not related to this one that's out right now, Minus One. But yeah, it tells the kind of the backstory of Monarch and some of the first Muto encounters. It's got Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell playing the same character, which is cool. So they have these flashbacks and flash forwards, and it's the same story, same guy. So that's
now we got
something that should be done more in Hollywood is the son, father.
Yeah, if we're going to have Nepo babies, at least let them play the young versions of their famous
parents. Right. It makes too much sense. It makes way too much sense. And it's got Durs from Workaholics. So shout out to Durs. You guys would like this. It feels production value is as good as the movie. So
that's cool.
It's cool to see that Apple's got money. Still,
they got iPhone money, Jerry Jones money.
They're just blowing money. Like, I love Godzilla. Let's do that. You know, just that was awesome. Let's do another season. You can just see them all. It's literally just like if they like it, they spend money on it. That's kind of what For All Mankind got as many seasons as it did, because no one was talking about it until like this year, it feels like. Yeah. So,
yeah, kind of a slow build.
It's kind of we think this is really good, so we're going to keep making it. Hopefully they make more of this Godzilla stuff. It's no spoilers, but it's got some Godzilla. So check it out.
Nice.
Monarch.
Really?
Monarch on Apple TV. Sweet. All right. That's the holdovers. Hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you thought of it on social media, email, however you want to. If you want to maybe gift a loved one, friend in your life, something special that's going to mean the world to them, how about a little subscription to the VIP club, you know, for the next year? Have them try it on for size, download a bunch of episodes for their upcoming trips for 2024. MadAboutMoviesPodcast.com/VIP. Get a little stocking stuffer for the loved one in your life. All right, we love you. We'll talk to you soon. See you at the center.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Again, scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah. Your salads and scrambled eggs.
They're calling again.